Chapter 2. The God Who Breaks and Enters. If I had seen Sophie Burnham in the produce section of my local grocery store, I would not have thought, "Oh, she looks like a mystic." But that's precisely what she is. A woman who has perforated the veil of physical reality and glimpsed another world. She lived only a few blocks from me, and after reading her book, The Ecstatic Journey, I made an appointment to see her. I approached this interview with a sort of fascinated terror. I was drawn to the untamed, almost uncontrolled spirituality she had described in her book. But I was also skittish because her journey bore an unsettling resemblance to my own. True, her mystical experience was a nuclear explosion compared with my little blast of dynamite. But I knew instinctively that I had the same sensibility, the same sort of internal compass that might set me on a parallel spiritual path. This haunted me. I recoiled at Sophie Burnham's adventurous faith life, the way she bushwhacked through the spiritual woods, testing this religion and that. I was quite comfortable with my faith life, with the rhythms of a certain kind of prayer and reading each morning, a certain type of church and pastor, a reliable faith where I could turn a knob to get hot water from the faucet or a flame from the stove. For all the excitement, Sophie had paid an exorbitant price for her spiritual journey. She had mortgaged her marriage, her longtime friends, her comfortable life as a Washington journalist. I glimpsed in Sophie's past my own potential future, and it scared the hell out of me. The woman who had ushered me into her Washington apartment was small and lithe in her black pants and orange crocheted sweater. She bustled off to the kitchen, her movements quick and precise as she prepared a cup of herbal tea. Sophie Burnham was nearing 70, but looked 20 years younger. She wore her dark blonde hair short, simple and parted on the side, framing a delicate nose and mouth and, cliched as it sounds, penetrating eyes. She gave me a brief tour of her airy apartment, which occupied one of the city's oldest and most elegant buildings. The tall windows overlooked a canopy of lush trees on this morning in May. The eclectic artwork on her walls reflected the taste of a woman who has traveled widely. Asian paintings, a blue oil painting of a Hindu elephant boy, a few pastoral watercolors. She cleared a space on a dining room table cluttered with manuscripts and began her story. Sophie was 3 or 4 years old when she first felt some kind of connection with the universe. It wasn't that there was something more than this, that there's a physical world and something else, she explained. I had the sense that, like Gerard Manley Hopkins, the physical world was glowing with life, shining like shook foil. I knew that everything was alive and that the universe was on my side. When she was 10 or 11, she was out riding with her father on their remote Maryland farm. My father said to me, "For some reason, the horses are really spooking, because they were dancing all over the place." And I said, "Well, of course they are. They're feeling all this electricity in the air." He said, "Oh, is there electricity in the air?" And that was the first time that I realized, oh, not everybody feels this. Isn't that interesting? I just assumed that everybody was intimately attuned. I wrote down her comment and circled it in my notes. As I talked with more people, I would find that mystical...